We'll begin with a prayer. Holy Spirit, we ask that you guide us now as we meditate upon another section of the Word, which you've given us for the salvation of our souls. We pray that you open the meaning of Scripture only as only you can do, and strengthen our faith in our Savior as we grow in grace and knowledge of Him. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So Acts chapter 7, the first part of verse 8, Isaac. So Stephen is addressing the VIPs and the children of Israel, and he gives only short shrift to Isaac here. But Isaac was one of the big three, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. In the King James Version, the word Isaac is found, if we're counting correctly, in 123 verses with 132 hits. And many of them are in conjunction with Abraham and Jacob. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the big three. So there's an awful lot about Isaac that for some reason Stephen doesn't mention here. But he was a very important person. We'll look at a few examples. Example number one, Genesis chapter 17, verse 19. And God said, Sarah, thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant and with his seed after him. So Isaac is one of the most amazing types of Christ in all of the Old Testament. And here we see a couple things right away. Isaac was the son of a promise, as was Jesus. Isaac was named before he was born, as was Jesus. So there's one parallel after another, which we will see. Number two, Genesis 21, beginning at verse 8. And the child grew and was weaned. And Abraham made a great feast the same day that Isaac was weaned. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. Wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even Isaac. So the half-brother to Isaac was the godless Ishmael. And when Isaac was weaned, Ishmael, who was at least 13 or 14 years older, was persecuting him. And Sarah saw it. Type of Christ. Jesus was not accepted by his half-brothers and half-sisters. They had the same mother, but they didn't have the same father. And the childhood of Jesus was not a pleasant one. He undoubtedly was persecuted by his own half-brothers and half-sisters. And his mother was watching. Mary was watching, just like Sarah was watching. Point number three, Genesis 22, verse 2. And he, God, said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. So as you already know, This is the first occurrence of the word love in all Scripture. Take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest. And the spiritual meaning of it is the Heavenly Father loves the Son, just like Abraham loved Isaac. And God commanded Abraham to sacrifice his son. So we've mentioned previously that God gave Abraham 10 trials during his lifetime. And Abraham did not always obey. And sometimes when he did obey, and this started right away, he did it half-heartedly and in segments. But this was trial number 10. And by this time, the Holy Spirit had filled Abraham, and Abraham was willing to obey God no matter what, even if it meant sacrificing his beloved son, Isaac. What we sometimes forget is that Isaac was part of this command also. And it wasn't only the Abraham that obeyed. It was also Isaac. And when Abraham put Isaac on the altar and raised a knife to slay him, this was an act of obedience toward God. And for Isaac, it was an act of obedience to God also. The Father and the Son agreed on this. It was the sacrifice of the Father that put Jesus on the cross. It wasn't Pontius Pilate. It wasn't Judas Iscariot. It wasn't the high priests. It wasn't the elders or the scribes. They were instruments, yes. But when Jesus was being nailed to the cross, the first word that he spoke was, Father. Father. And he ended up that way. Father. Always tracing everything back to the Father. Now, in our world, very many times as far as businesses go, location is so important. It's been said that the three most important things in a successful business are location, location, location. And here, God commanded Abraham to sacrifice his son at the place where God would show him. And the place that God showed him was Mount Moriah. And it was on Mount Moriah that Abraham and Isaac walked up to the top together. And Abraham was ready to perform the sacrifice, and Isaac was ready to be sacrificed. So, where did it happen that Jesus was sacrificed? It was on Mount Moriah. Location, location, location. I believe that it was the same spot where Abraham was about to sacrifice Isaac. I can't prove that, but it certainly was in Mount Moriah, and we know how God can work. So Isaac is a type of Jesus Christ who gave his life willingly in obedience to his Father. And this cannot be overemphasized. If nobody ever came to faith in Jesus, the sacrifice would still be worth it, because it honored and glorified the Father. That's the point. The other things are blessed offshoots. Number four. This is extremely interesting. Genesis 24, beginning at verse 4. And this is where Abraham is sending his servant to pick out a wife for Isaac. Do we have Father, Son, and Holy Spirit here typified? Abraham, Isaac, the servant. Genesis 24, beginning at verse 4, "But thou shalt go into my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac." So it was the servant's job, if you want to put it crassly, to find a wife for Isaac. And this is exactly what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit seeks out the elect, the very small remnant chosen by the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit before the foundation of the world, and brings her to Jesus. This is what the Holy Spirit does. And he doesn't miss anybody. And he doesn't make any mistakes. "The servant said unto him, Peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me into this land." Well, that would be perfectly understandable. She didn't even have a picture of Isaac, let alone having ever met him. And now she's supposed to agree to move to another country and marry a person that she's never even seen. It would be not only possible, but this would be the natural thing. She'd say, no, forget it. Peradventure, the woman will not be willing to follow me into this land. Must I needs bring thy son again into the land from whence thou camest? If she doesn't buy into this, should I go back and get Isaac and bring him along so at least they can meet each other, have a couple of dates at least, get to know each other before they make this commitment? And Abraham said unto him, Beware that thou bring not my son Isaac thither again. That's not the way this is going to work. And again here, as we proceed, we're going to see the power of the Holy Spirit. There are elect people in this world right now that are engaged to be married to Jesus Christ and are approaching the marriage altar pretty soon, and they've never even seen him. He lived hundreds of years before we're on the earth. How is it that we're willing to follow and be a bride to the Son of God? How does that happen? It's not the natural thing. Most people don't do it. Forget about it. Well, it's the power of the Holy Spirit to love someone we've never even seen, and be willing to die for that person as he was willing to die for us. So anyway, the Lord God of Abraham is still talking to the servant. And the Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house, and God did take him. God gave him the command, but Abraham didn't follow it. It took two funerals and a dispute in the family before Abraham finally fully obeyed the first command. So God did it. The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house, from the land of my kindred, which spake unto me and swear unto me, saying, Unto thy seed will I give this land. He shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. Well, the question, though, was, what if she says no? What if she won't come? And the answer is this: And if the woman will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from this thine oath. You can come back and you've done what I told you to do. If it didn't work out, it didn't work out. But God knows it's going to work out because he controls things. And only bring not my sent thither again. And it almost seems to me, if I'm looking correctly, that Isaac spent virtually his whole life in the Promised Land. And interestingly enough, he was digging wells. He was the well digger. So the servant, getting back again, the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham. He's taking an oath, his master, and swear unto him according to that matter. And the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed, for all the goods of his master were in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia unto the city of Nahor. Remember here that the Holy Spirit is equal in power and authority with the Father and the Son. There's no difference. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit agree in everything. They're all powerful. They control everything. The Holy Spirit's part of this. Thank God he is. He's the one that's dwelling within us right now in a small form, but he's still there. And he's the reason why we're going to make it. So anyway, back into the story here. He made his camels to kneel down without the city, outside the city, by a well of water. It's interesting that Isaac spent his whole life digging wells of water. And it started here, by this well of water, at the time of the evening, when the time that women go out to draw water. And he said, now this is the servant. The servant said, he's praying, O Lord God of my master, Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day, and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink, and she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. She's not only going to give him a drink, she's going to water the camels, 10 of them, and they were thirsty. This is going to be a hard thing to do. A lot of work is going to be involved there. She's willing to do it. She even mentioned it. Let the same be she. Now the servant is still praying. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. And therefore shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. So that's what the servant is beseeching the father to do. And it came to pass, before he had finished speaking, that behold, Rebekah came out. It's a passage in Scripture that says, before they call, I will answer. This is exciting. God answers our prayers so often before we even get around to praying with them. Before they call, I will answer. And the answer is being performed and prepared for sometimes years before we pray for it. I've raised 3 sons and 1 daughter, and none of my sons, when they were little, first couple years, wanted to get married. That didn't happen till later on in life. But God had prepared a wife for them, and for my daughter, he prepared a husband for her before they even got around to praying for it. These prayers are answered sometimes years and years and years in the making. This is the control that God has over this. Let's not forget that. So this servant is praying, and before he's even finished, Rebecca comes out. Rebecca came, and it came to pass before he had done speaking that, behold, this is a surprise, Rebecca came out, who was born of Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulders. So she's coming out to draw water. And the damsel was very fair to look upon. She was beautiful. She was pretty. And a virgin. Neither had any man known her. And she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. And then she gave the servant some water to drink and also watered the 10 camels. Invited him and the camels into her father's house. They were wealthy. And one thing led to another. And so when the servant told the father and mother, you know, I was sent by God to take your daughter back to marry Isaac. They said, well, you know, let her stay for a few days first. Let's think this thing over. He said, no. I want an answer, yes or no, because I'm going back. And they said, well, okay, let's call our daughter and let her make the decision. So they called Rebecca, and she said, I will go. So then, many miles away, a short time later, Isaac went out to meditate in the field at eventide. That's the same time that the servant prayed for a wife, and it was eventide, and Rebecca came out. So we're talking about the same time of day, Isaac came the way of the well of Lahairoi, for he dwelt in the south country, and Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide, and lifted up his eyes and saw, behold, the camels were coming. And Isaac knew that among the camels was his future wife. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel. So here again, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Isaac, a type of the Son. Servant, the type of the Holy Spirit. Number 5, Genesis 25, verse 5. Abraham gave all that he had unto Isaac. Ishmael, by that time, was far gone. He'd been evicted from the family because he persecuted Isaac. And in the Bible, in the New Testament, says just as Ishmael persecuted Isaac, so it is now. The children of the devil persecute the children of God. That has not changed. And then this is something I want you to remember when we get to the final scene where the ones on the left hand, the goats on the left hand, are sent down into hell to suffer forever. And Jesus is the one that gives the command, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angel. Who prepared it? Who prepared it? The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit prepared it. And remember, the Father loves the Son. and he loves the bride of the Son. And if people hate the Son and they hate the bride of the Son, the Heavenly Father's going to hate them. Because the Father loves the Son and the bride of the Son. So this is all going to play out. God is just and he's fair. And this is going to happen. So he gives everything to Isaac. And what does Isaac do with it all? He gives it to his bride. Think about that. What that's going to mean. Number 6, Genesis 26, verse 12. Then Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. Well, okay, context is always very important. What was the context here? The context was that there was a terrible, terrible famine in the Holy Land. Same thing that had happened to Isaac's father, Abraham. And when there was a famine in the land, the first thing Abraham did, this was one of his trials that he failed, the first thing he did was go down into Egypt and lie about his wife and say, well, when we come down into Egypt, you tell everybody you're my sister, otherwise they're going to kill me so they can have you. So he lied, it's a double thing. And Sarah ended up in Pharaoh's harem. And God had to get them back together again. So now the same thing is happening with Isaac. And God says, don't leave. Don't leave. Stay in this land of famine. And Isaac obeyed. And what happened? The same year that none of the farmers in the land even could reap a handful of harvest. It was all done. They didn't get anything. And the same year, Isaac was blessed 100-fold. Type of Jesus Christ. Obedient to the Father, and the Father gives him a kingdom of glory and a bride, and it's going to last forever. And Isaac was part of this. You and I are part of this. This is your story and mine. And we should be thinking about this a lot more than what we do as we're traveling as strangers and pilgrims through a hostile world. A great and terrible wilderness. And it sometimes shows outwardly. But we get it all at the end. Number 7. This is so important about Isaac. Genesis 26, verse 18. And Isaac digged again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham, his father. Well, why did he have to redig those wells? For the Philistines had stopped them, plugged them up, after the death of Abraham. And he called their names after the names by which his father had called them. Well, this is exactly what Jesus did. By the time Jesus came into this world, the visible church was so far gone that it couldn't even be brought back. A new one had to start. But Jesus redug the wells, the old ones, the Old Testament promises, that the heathen people had filled with dirt. And Jesus said, don't think that I've come to destroy the law. I came not to destroy, but to fulfill. The law of God is good. And even though they're plugged up by the children of the devil, Jesus redug them, just like Isaac did. And later on, and then by the way, he called their names by the names which his father had called them. There's a penalty for anybody that adds to or takes away from Holy Scripture. And Jesus did not. He fulfilled all of it, and his people do also through him. Okay, for the concluding thought here, Isaac is an extremely important person, and we can relate to him. We can relate to him. He was a wonderful, wonderful child, and his parents were proud of him, and they should be. But it gets back to Abraham, doesn't it? And we know from history, the Old Testament, and what happened in the New Testament, in the first generation of the Christian church, and it still is true in some cases, that there are physical descendants of Abraham who are basing their whole eternity on that fact. We are children of Abraham. Well, yes and no. Abraham has two kinds of children. The first kind are blood relationships, the ones that physically have descended from Abraham, which, spiritually speaking, doesn't amount to a hill of beans. It's a non-factor. The real children of Abraham are the ones who are the elect, pictured by Isaac, children of the promise, guided by the Holy Spirit, having the same faith that Isaac had and Abraham had. Romans chapter 9, verse 7, neither because they are the seed of Abraham, the physical descendants, are they all children? They're not. But in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And then Galatians 4, verse 28, don't ever forget this one. Galatians 4, 28, now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of the promise.